This is a CKTZ News Update. I'm Lonnie Taylor. The Old Schoolhouse Art Gallery has expanded their programming to reach past the summer into the fall and winter. One of the offerings is a workshop by Kristen Schofield Sweet. She's already completed one workshop, a series of classes this fall, and has opened enrollment for a second of the workshops. I caught up with Kristen to find out more about this local art education opportunity. Kristen, tell me a bit about your art education and background.
I have a PhD in art education. I taught for 11 years at the Nova Scotia College of Art and Design in both the art education and in the foundation division. I've had several solo exhibitions in Halifax, have been both written and have written reviews for Arts Atlantic, for Arts Canada. Been a practicing artist for probably 50 years anyway. So that's the kind of formal, okay, she's got some chops and what she does makes sense. I think, quite frankly, a more appropriate credential is the good fortune I had growing up. I used to introduce myself as an artist when I was 8 years old. I have no idea why. I didn't do anything. I won an adult coloring contest in the third grade. Mom used to tack what we called butcher paper, craft paper, along the base of the walls, I think to keep us kids from writing on the walls, but I drew on them. I think one of the most remarkable credentials a person can have is to have parents who are teachers. And both my parents were teachers. And so there was never a kind of, not ever, but a go away, don't bother me. It was always go look it up. You figure it out and then come and tell me about it and we'll talk. And that kind of continual curiosity and self-reliance and you could do it, just go do it, is I think a core quality in any kind of art, whether it's music or drama or the visual arts. You have to be willing to just take a chance and see where it goes.
So why did you decide to offer this?
That's a really interesting question because people, the gallery in the first place, the Old Schoolhouse Gallery, I've been on that board for well over 20 years. And we have talked for a very long time about offering something during the shoulder season, which would be September, October. It also would be like April, May. And we've never really gotten it together to do that. There's been lots of complication and it's just uncertain to be able how to pull it off. And I have been thinking, not in some kind of focused, directed way, that people talk to me fairly often about, why don't you teach something? It's not like you didn't do that for a very long time. So what occurred to me to do as a lark initially, just in chatting with folks, was to teach a university level drawing course, basically to teach NESCAD Drawing 101. And it kind of caught fire. The conversations, we only took 9 students, and that's actually quite a lot for a studio course. But I very much like a traditional studio course where you have a length of time in which you're actually doing studio work, where you're discussing history and theory as well as technique. In fact, the technique of what we're doing is an aside. It's a much more thorough examination. And it was really well received. It didn't come from, gee, I think next year we'll do this. It was just, why doesn't somebody start? Back to what I said about you just take a chance and see what happens. I think one of the really fascinating permissions that happened is when we were first talking, just among friends, saying, what would you think if there was an art class? The number of people who said, oh, yeah, you're supposed to go to school in September. It's like, I don't think it matters how old you are. In Western culture, you go to school in September. And most of us still hold that as a kind of awareness, whether or not we do anything about it. So all of a sudden, saying there's going to be an art school in September triggered a remarkable amount of not just history, but reflection back into, oh, yeah, I used to do that. I could do that. So I think that was a lot of the momentum. And then this next course, and people have said to me, why flowers, really? And I think one of the fascinating things is if you start looking at botanical art, you're instantly in a very political conversation. In the first place, oh yeah, it's like on behalf of a political statement for your grandmother, you should draw flowers. But in the first place, flower paintings started in the 1200s. And initially, flowers carried a whole symbolic language that was used in devotion. So if you had a book of hours, it often would focus on the values of charity and of love and of kindness. And those would all be represented by flowers. So drawing flowers that had this other essence of meaning goes back a long ways. And when botanical art then moved forward into the 15, 1600s, women were not part of it at all because typically, there was a botanical artist that went on cruises of exploration. They often were a regular part of the ship's crew because seeds and things in the colonial atmosphere were taken and brought back. And most of that needed to be recorded. So women were not allowed to be scientists, and they certainly didn't go on voyages to the New World. So there were no women botanical artists. And then it shifted in part due to, I love this, Dutch preference for doing botanical drawings of plants in vases. It wasn't typical until kind of the late 1600s. And in part that created the whole rage around tulips. And what happened was this Victorian Posy. It's a little book filled with pictures of flowers and ladies and poetry. And often the pages were scented, so they were like a little perfume thing. And of course, they became associated with what a proper lady would do in Victorian England. And so now it was all women who were botanical artists, but it was without any kind of scientific substance. It was what genteel women did. And it's over time, certainly botanical artists have become, it's interesting, it's really a popular art form, even with digital photography, even with all kinds of technological support, drawing the essence of a plant is still a remarkably popular and profound thing to do. And now it's a field that's shared primarily by men and women. So it's got this really long social history that reflects a lot of the political beliefs of the time.
So this class begins, is it this weekend?
Yes, actually. We're right up against the line. It begins, it's in two sections, both of which are self-contained. There's either a class that meets four Fridays in a row, beginning this Friday, the 18th, or there's a class that begins four Saturdays in a row, beginning on the 19th. So they're not interchangeable in as much as I couldn't keep track if I had people bouncing from one class to another. That said, obviously there's going to be some flexibility, but the reason it got split, first of all, is that I've had lots of requests and way more than we could accommodate in one class. Also, I am trying, the gallery is trying this time, if we can pull it off, to do a video recording of one of those sets of classes. There's so many moving parts in that. I really hope we can pull off a video recording. We can't live stream yet. The gallery has no Wi-Fi capacity. It will next year. We're certainly hoping we can up the version. But it does look like, with God is willing, we can have a movie made of the critique, the demonstration, and the home study, so that you could then, with a password, access, you can buy the set of videos. And my suggestion at the moment is that video series, you would attend it just like one of the in-person students. The two classes are going, and at the moment I have two spaces left on Friday and three spaces left on Saturday. But just coming home from the ferry, I had another person sign up. So if somebody is interested, they need to kind of get on with it. They can register until Thursday. That's fine. The biggest challenge, though, if somebody waits till the last minute, is what to do about materials, not providing a class set. And right now, for example, I've got three or four students. I'm going to town tomorrow, and I'm going to buy a set of supplies for them. Who registers on Thursday is going to have to trundle up their own watercolor pencils, but lots of people have them, so that might work fine.
So if people still want to sign up, how do they do that? Who do they contact?
If they would contact the Schoolhouse Art Gallery at gmail.com, Schoolhouse Art Gallery is all one word, and they would be contacting Bianca, and she's ready to hear from them. The total for all four classes at $40 a class is $160. You don't need to have previous experience. You don't need to have done the first five classes. It flows one to the next, but the second class is completely its own topic, its own demonstrations, its own materials. You won't necessarily have any advantage or disadvantage for joining the second half. They're meant to be two separate parts.
So the first course was this past fall, and you said it had 9 students, and that was a full class, right?
Yes. It was sold out. Well, and we had a waiting list, and several of those folks have been contacted for this class. In the gallery, one of the wonderful things about the gallery, after all, it was an old schoolhouse. I don't think that's an accident. The lighting is remarkable. The space is very accommodating. Sound carries well in there. It's not a spectator sport. Art is never a spectator sport. So that's 8 is a really perfect number. That's 2 people, 4 tables. We can make a nice shape. People can still see what I'm doing. They've got enough room to spread out and work without bumping into each other. That's why we split it into 2 sections, is to try and honor more interest and yet give the people who take the course the best opportunity.
So the first class, what was the topic? And I think I can tell what the topic for the new class is, but if you want to clarify just the name of the class. And
the first one was, again, like the painting flowers, which comes from a very specific kind of cultural milieu and history and attitude. The first class was called Drawing from Nature. And people thought it wasn't that cute, a kind of play on words. But no, it was literally about creating a field journal and a field art kit that you could take with you out in the bush. You go for a walk, and there was a perfect little red box. And it had, again, watercolor pencils, graphite pencils, several different kinds of erasers, because I teach using erasers like an art material. They're not for taking off something because you've made a mistake. There are no mistakes. Therefore, bringing in highlights for shifting focus, some highlighting chalk, a water brush, which is quite a new invention, and at least new to me. And I'm using it in both classes. It was a completely self-contained course, but it was also about the fundamentals of drawing, shadows, working front to back, top to bottom. So there's a lot of techniques involved, but they were all aimed at drawing from nature.
So this next course, what is the title of this course that you are offering starting on November 18th?
The Art of Painting Flowers. And that's why people go, what? A few have said, really? I said, trust me, it'll be way more complicated than you think. Flowers are a remarkable subject. If you actually spend a little bit of time looking at one, there are a few things in nature more complicated. One of the first things we're going to do on Friday, and I can feel a couple of my participants already going, we're going to spend some time with basic geometry. Because how do you foreshorten a flower that's got 5 petals and that's looking toward you? That's a real complicated visual curiosity there. And there are absolutely ways to do it. So quite often people who have lots of enthusiasm to draw, paint, and they sit down to it and they don't know how to get started. They don't know how do I make that flower come at me? Obviously, given our recent snow and cold, we are not working with live flowers. One of my challenges tomorrow is finding the right version of silk flowers to work with. One other thing about working with flowers is that, remember, the most of this course is focused on watercolor pencils. And I'm not so sure folks understand that the difference between a watercolor pencil and a colored pencil is that the binder in the watercolor pencil melts. So if you put it in water, the binder disappears and all of a sudden you have colored water. And so it becomes like watercolor, but it's not as technically challenging. And again, if you look at flower petals, the variety of colors, the way they shade in a wash from a dark edge to a faded out pale color, the way they have spontaneous patterns on them, there almost is no better subject to practice color mixing than flower petals. So we're going to do that.
So it sounds like you've already responded to the positive reception of the first series of classes that you offered. Is there plans to continue these offerings through the winter or next spring?
Not through the winter. I think that one of the challenges at the art gallery is until we do some electrical upgrades, those big track lights, which are necessary for the exhibition, and the floor heaters are on the same system. And so you can't add space heaters, for example. Or if you did add them, you'd have to turn some of the lights off. But for example, I have to go in the morning to turn the heat on for an afternoon class. That's fine. The thought was always that we would have a shoulder season, September, October, going a bit, obviously, November, December, because so many people were interested in keeping it going. And then again, April, May for an exhibition season that usually begins in the middle to end of June. So there isn't a plan other than me extending it to go across the winter until we, like I said, make some other arrangements with the building. But absolutely, Ayami Stryak's work, her amazing kind of Japanese stitchery. One of the conversations we had was, how cool would it be to make a shoulder bag that your little field kit and felt paper fit in? Wow. And so there's lots and lots of crossover possibilities and lots of island artists that I think would really enjoy being involved. It's a real pipe dream at the moment, but we would love to create a video library, techniques of courses. It's something that I think the island would really enjoy. That's a long ways in the future, in my view. Just because that's going to involve grants and lots of other things and some capacity with the technology. But this is a good small beginning. We'll see how it goes.
What is the most compelling thing about teaching art?
Whether it's music, theater, the visual arts, you can't not get on the bus with your students. You can't say, okay, here's what you do, everybody, and then stand there as if they didn't get to see you do it. And in order for them to see you do what you're teaching, you have to be able to do it. And so there is this kind of line of sort of accountability in that experience. It's like there's this very old adage, those who can do, those who can't teach. I don't agree with that. And I certainly think that one of the most compelling examples of teaching and doing is art, because you can't not do it if you're going to teach it. That's why it works for me.
Lonnie Taylor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.